It is my joy and privilege to be speaking on this fifth Sunday of Missions Month. Let's commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, speak as your servants listen. Guide me to proclaim what you want to say to your church. And may these words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, an important Christian document that teaches the Christian faith, asks this question: what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? The same document also gives the answer: man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Glorifying God is part of what it means for us to worship Him. We honor Him with praise, acknowledge His splendor and greatness, and laud Him for it. When we give Him glory, as all the world is told to do in Revelation 14:7, we direct our praise, adoration, thanksgiving, and worship to Him who alone is worthy. That's it. Many people in this world do not do so because they do not yet know Him. How then will they worship Him? Which is why John Piper says in his book entitled Let the Nations Be Glad, missions exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. What Piper is saying is that missions exist because there are still people in the world who do not worship God. Until we reach this ultimate goal of the ends of the earth, hearing about and worshiping the one true God, the church's role for now is to proclaim Christ to the world, to those around us, and to bring all peoples into the joy of worshiping God. Our Missions Month is one of our platforms where we encourage all of us here at BKC in this endeavor. Now, over the course of the last 4 weeks, our speakers have diligently reminded us of a few things. In the first week, Mr. Yong Pin Yoon shared with us God's intention for the nations. The call to missions goes back all the way to the Old Testament in Genesis. It is not a New Testament afterthought, nor an idea the church invented. It's the biblical story that runs from Genesis to Revelation as the Father pursues His children throughout history. God jealously guards His name, and He jealously wants His name to be known among the nations. The term nations does not refer merely to countries defined by geopolitical boundaries, but to the various people groups, which number something like 12,000 to 17,000. God's heart is for the nations. Abraham was blessed by God to become a blessing. God's redemptive purpose has always extended beyond one family or one nation. We are to make His way known on earth until every nation, tribe, people, and language are worshiping before God. Even then, there is a sobering reminder that there is great disparity in the way we use our finance, human resource, and even efforts in Bible translations, with the bulk going towards reached people groups rather than the unreached and unengaged people groups that require these the most. Pin Yoon encouraged us to, therefore, really press on and pray for the Lord, to the Lord regarding His harvest field, for the missionaries and those they minister to. Now, in week two, Dr. Justin Lee reminded us of how we heard the good news. Though the Great Commission was given, the gospel only really spread through the early church when there was persecution. Yet nothing can stop God's work, and the reach of the gospel grew as God intended it to. The gospel was not only for the Jews. Likewise, for us today, we must also remember that it is not just only for people like us. God himself is working behind the scenes in unexpected ways and places. But the church also needs to be obedient to and participate in God's mission. And that can only happen when we have a bigger view of God and overcome what is familiar and comfortable as we let the Holy Spirit lead. Given that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news, our sermon in week 3 taught us that we shouldn't then keep it to ourselves. Mr. Jim Wan shared that we heard the good news because of those who came before us. At the same time, we are to remember those who haven't yet heard the good news. Some of these people could be near us in our community and to whom we can easily reach out to. But we must also be willing to cross culture and language to reach others far away. This is because God is too far glorious to be praised in just only one language. Last week, Mr. Daniel Lau and Mr. Dave Ang reminded us that we need to seek out redemption opportunities. Such opportunities can happen both abroad and here in Singapore, where diasporas of various people groups can be found. We are encouraged to love the sojourner among us, and we love because God first loved us. Now, all we have heard over the last few weeks is well and good. In fact, I think many of us might already have some understanding of these things. After all, we have had countless missions months over the years. But the question is, what do we do with all this knowledge? Countless charts and statistics have been flashed before us. We saw a few last week. Some statistics with staggering numbers of those yet to be reached. But if we walk out the door with our hearts unmoved after the service, what do you think is going to change? Yes, God is almighty and he is able to do the work himself. But then again, we also know he invites us to partner with him in this endeavor. And we should count that our privilege and joy. As we have sung this morning, there's a work for us to do. Dear church, if we are to take missions seriously, then perhaps the one thing that really needs to change is our hearts. There is a big difference between knowing about missions and having God's heartbeat for the nations. Missions is not merely a program, a project, an obligation, or a church department like our missions committee. It flows from who God is. And today, as I wrap up our missions month, that is the direction I feel the Lord is taking us. We need a heart check to tune and align our hearts so that we share our Heavenly Father's heart. Let us look at two passages of Scripture. First, from Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now the second is from Luke 15, 11 to 24. It reads, "Jesus continued, 'There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But his father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Now, the first passage we read in Matthew is about Jesus' ministry as he went through towns and villages, healing, teaching, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. We are told that Jesus saw the crowds and had compassion on them. This triggered him to ask his disciples to pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. The second passage from Luke 15 is the famous passage on the prodigal son. Though we often link this story to God joyfully welcoming repentant sinners back into fellowship with him, while exposing the self-righteousness of those who resent his grace towards sinners, I want to draw our attention to the father's heart. Notice what the father does. He watches, he sees the son and was filled with compassion for him even while he was still a long way off. He runs to him, he embraces him, and he restores him. God's heart is not indifferent toward people who are far from him. He seeks restoration, reconciliation, and relationship. God's mission originates in his love. We've been singing about God's great love this morning. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The motive of seeing coupled with having compassion runs through both passages. In the first passage particularly, we see that Jesus' seeing and compassion for the crowd moves towards missions and asking of the Lord to send workers into his harvest field. Our prayers for the Lord to send workers into his harvest field does not necessarily mean that he will send other people. We could jolly well be the ones that he could send. As we look at both stories, it should not surprise us that Jesus reveals the Father's heart. In John 14:9, Jesus tells us that whoever has seen him has seen the Father. This is because Jesus is the visible representation of God. What about us? Do we have the Father's heart? Personally, for me, I know I fall short. For that matter, perhaps the rest of this sermon should help us see what God sees, feel what God feels, and go where he sends. See what God sees, feel what God feels, and go where he sends. When the Father's heart becomes our heart, his mission becomes our mission. What does the Lord see? As mentioned earlier, it is often so easy to talk about and analyze missions in terms of statistics, charts, and numbers. For example, the percentage of Christians in a particular community, the number of people groups yet to be reached. We tend to see these people as aggregates rather than individuals. Crowds, statistics, nations, cultures, immigrants, unreached peoples, and sinners. Our Heavenly Father, however, sees every one of them and us as his creation, people made in his image, people he loves and knows by name, people he desires to redeem and bring home. This is the first major contrast. People are not merely mission fields. They are the sons and daughters God desires to bring home. Do we see people as God sees them? Not as statistics, but as real people made in God's image, each with stories to tell. I have a cousin who travels around the US and Canada with a family in an RV, a recreational vehicle, or what we might call a motorhome. One thing that impresses me about her family is that everywhere they go, they will attempt to find out the life stories of people they meet. What's your story? Tell me more, they would ask. This has brought them a community of friends wherever they have traveled, along with many exciting stories. In efficient and productive Singapore, this perhaps is not a question we often ask. But such questions do result in the opening up of conversations, and it signals to the people we speak with that they are valued and that we care enough to listen. When I was in Bible School at TTC, and we have some friends today from TTC, one of the assignments Dr. Andrew Pei, our missiology lecturer, made us do was to engage a migrant worker in conversation and to reflect on the experience. My friend Keith and I ended up at Little India on a Sunday evening. I must say it was awkward at first as we sheepishly targeted someone we could speak with, made eye contact and smiled at him, not sure if that person we were targeting would get suspicious or would even be able to understand what we were saying. I must say that sitting on the ground by the roadside as we engaged our new friend while he was eating from his packet of plain rice and curry was a totally new experience for me. But that exercise taught me to listen even as he shared about what his family was going through back home. His cramped living quarters at a nearby shop house, and this was before COVID. His cousin who had just arrived in Singapore for work, and the episode where his arm was injured because of his construction work, but his company wasn't really very helpful about that. It is a lesson I carry with me now, even as I engage drivers, cleaners, my hairdresser, the store operators at the Kopitiam, which is our coffee shops, and food centers, the person sharing table with me at the Kopitiam, so that my encounters with them are not just transactional. What do we know about their lives? Their physical, mental, and emotional needs. Their spiritual need. Church, if our Heavenly Father values them, shouldn't we too? We cannot truly carry the Father's heart without allowing ourselves to see what Jesus sees. We can see suffering and remain unmoved. We can know statistics and remain very indifferent. We can know that billions have never heard the gospel and still sleep comfortably at night. But they will always just be statistics, people across the road from us, people in a different land. The Father wants to take us further. Not only does he want us to see what he sees, we are also to feel what he feels and be moved to compassion. Last week, our speaker, Mr. Daniel Lau, shared with us a slide on our possible responses to the things we have heard. It moves from apathy to sympathy and empathy to compassion. I was very intrigued by this as it had a bearing on what I was about to preach today, so I was listening carefully. I'm not sure where you sit on the scale, but I really need to repent of being often stuck in the apathetic and sympathetic zone. Over the last few weeks, I have been meditating on the Father's love. As I did so, I was again and again so awestruck by God's love for us. We can never love the way God loves so perfectly. His giving nature, such that he would send his only begotten Son into the world to die for us and free us from our sins, even when we were still sinners and enemies with him. Sin keeps keeps us caring about our own interest over that of others, which is why it is never about what we can do on our own, but that we must draw close to God and continually depend on Him. Him who is the source of all love and the God who is love. Only then are we in turn able to love others. Just think, if we love others as deeply as God loves them and us, wouldn't we do more to pray earnestly for our persecuted brothers and sisters who are part of the church and members of the body of Christ, to suffer with them and to feel their pain? We don't normally pray for them because we are too far removed from them in comfortable Singapore and their pain is not our pain. And wouldn't we also do more to evangelize to those around us or to find our place to serve in missions here and abroad, given that we know the terrible eternity awaiting those who do not know or have a relationship with God? Jesus cared enough. He had compassion on the people because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Our Christian maturity is not simply knowing more about God, it is becoming more like Him. God changes our hearts until the things that matter to Him begins to matter to us. Our own hearts need to be transformed such that His compassion becomes our compassion, His love becomes our love, His concern for the lost becomes our concern, and His sending becomes our willingness to go. Missions must first begin internally, inside, internally in every of our hearts before it becomes geographically external and we see it lived out. Our first question, therefore, is not, where should I go? But rather, Lord, what is breaking your heart? Give us your compassion. Yet, there are many things that can keep us from having the Father's heart of compassion, and we need ever so often to do a routine heart check. We might be held back from the following. Our own comfort, we say, my life is enough. Our fear, what if God asks me to go? Our prejudice, those people are different from us. Our busyness, I don't have the time. Our indifference, someone else will do it. Our self-preservation, I have too much to lose. In such times, we need to pause and contrast our attitude with Jesus' willingness to leave heaven, to enter our broken and sinful world, and to give of Himself. And with that, we need to ask for forgiveness. While we may struggle, do not lose heart. Ezekiel 36:26 tells us that God gives us a new heart. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Romans 5:5 also tells us that God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The answer, therefore, it's not for us to simply try harder to care about missions, but rather to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts. Now, when we see what God sees and feel what He feels, we will then begin to go where He sends. In his sermon in week 2, Dr. Justin Lee reminded us of the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. And also what we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Matthew calls us to go, but Acts 1:8 takes it one step further, recording the certainty of God's plan being fulfilled as the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. We see this of the early church in the rest of the book of Acts. In John 20:21, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." The Great Commission is not disconnected from the Great Commandment to love God and to love our neighbors. Love for God and love for people naturally moves us to missions. The question is not whether we participate in God's mission, but how we are to do so. The command to go does not necessarily mean that everyone has to move overseas. There are different expressions of mission. Go. Some are called to cross cultures. Send. Some enable and support those who go. While we often applaud the field missionary, Pitki often reminds me that the behind-the-scenes administrators serving in the missionary sending office here are also much needed to support the work out there. Retirees are always welcome to serve. Pray. Everyone can participate to intercede for workers and unreached peoples. Now, besides praying on your own for missions, our church missions committee holds a missions prayer retreat about twice a year for us to gather corporately to remember our missionaries and our mission partners. Today, we have a special prayer session 15 minutes after the service at Annex Level 3 to pray for the diaspora work in Singapore. Come and pray for this work. Welcome. Hospitality can become missions too. Ezra shared a sermon on Christian hospitality a few weeks ago. Learning from what was shared last week about the diaspora living in Singapore, we can receive the nations who have come to us. Give. Resources can advance the gospel. Yes, financial help is always valued, but you can also give of your time and your talent. Speak. We can testify about Jesus where God has placed us. We can all do this. Speak not only to your family, friends, and colleagues. As I had shared earlier, you can also talk to your taxi, your Grab drivers, the hawker of the store you patronize, and your hairdresser. If you are not already speaking to those around you in your spheres of influence, it will be ironic if God were to send you to a far-off remote country, vastly different in culture and language, and that you will be able to suddenly open your mouth and share the gospel there when you aren't even faithful to do so here. Not impossible, but rather strange. But if evangelism and gospel sharing is your lifestyle, you would do it any and everywhere you go. In my family, my mother is the evangelist champion. Even when we are overseas on holiday, she would somehow find opportunities to have spiritual conversations with the shop assistants and to share the gospel. But then again, she's just being consistent. She does so as well with all our relatives, the shop assistants here, her real estate agent and tenants. Now, we don't go on missions because the mission situation is miserable and God needs volunteers. We go because we have fallen in love with what God loves. Church, is there an area which you feel God is calling and sending you? Commit it to prayer and then take action. Because when you see as God sees and feel as He feels with compassion, you will naturally want to go where He sends. My challenge for us today, myself included, is not a call to drastic action, but just to take the next step. If you have not engaged anyone in a spiritual conversation over the last few years, begin by talking to someone to find out his or her life story. If you feel the Lord leading you to the diaspora work, get in touch with our missions committee or Mr. Dave Ang. During the COVID period, some of our church members had availed themselves to minister to the migrant workers in the dormitories. If you have never really put missions in your radar, perhaps you will do so more intentionally starting from this missions month. Our church's monthly prayer guide has many updates on our missions partners and missionaries. Pray through those items. Join the next missions prayer retreat. Better still, the prayer meeting this morning after service to pray for the diaspora here. Yes, we can all pray. And we need to seek the Lord and pray for the lost regularly and persistently. In his book, My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers reminds us, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Additionally, you could find out more about missions at an upcoming missions conference or seminar. Antioch 21 is around the corner. There's a QR code if you want, you can scan it. It's around the corner in early October. Catch the vision and catch the fire. Early bird registration ends tomorrow, 31st August. There's another one. On 17 September, Thursday, there is an evening seminar from 8 to 9:30 p.m. at Singapore Bible College by Reverend Dr. David Rowe on Go Where There Is No Gospel. You might like to go for that. Again, the QR code is there, and you can scan it. We'll most probably send this over our WhatsApp blast. Or perhaps you might consider joining one of our year-end mission trips or helping the team out in their fundraising efforts or to cover them in prayer. Or you yourself can even go. I was very encouraged last year when I went to Siliguri because three people on our team were seniors. Elise, Andrew, and Flora were part of the team. Flora has been to Siliguri at least three times, but it was Elise, Andrew, and my first time there. And they are not the only ones. There were also some seniors who were part of the team visiting the Philippines, though I do not have their photos here. To some of you retirees out there who feel that missions exposure trips are only for the young, you might want to reconsider. Of the trips that I had the privilege to go and visit our mission partners in the Philippines and India, the deepest thing I got out of those was to be able to meet those we have been praying for, to really know the people on the ground by name, and to hear their story so that they are not just an item on the prayer guide, but to see them as the Lord sees them, and to feel for them as the Lord feels. As we go forth, we hold to the vision of Revelation 7, verses 9 to 10. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Dear church, we go because the Father is gathering his children. We go because the nations are in his heart. And we go until every people has had the opportunity to hear, until every tribe is represented before the throne, and until the Father's house is full. Let us see as God sees. Let us feel what he feels. And let us go where he sends. To God be all the glory. Now, before we close in prayer and benediction, there's a song of response I would like us to sing. It's called The Summons. It's a series of questions for our reflection, and even as we sing it, I'll get Debbie to accompany me, us on this. Now, it's quite hymn-like in structure, so I will sing it the first verse once for you to get an idea if it's new to some of you, and then after that, we'll sing through the entire song again from the top, okay?
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me?
Could I get everyone to stand and let's do it again from the first verse, all right?
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I not call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare? Should your life attract or stare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? Will you let the blinded see if I but call your name? Will you set the prisoner free and never be the same? Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you in me? Will you love the you you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell that fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echoes through and you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thou shalt move and live and grow in you and you in me.
Let's close in prayer and benediction. Heavenly Father, give us spiritual eyes to see what you see. Transform us and give us your heart, your compassion, to feel what you feel. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to obey you, to go where you send us. We see the gospel work before us and we echo Jesus' words as we ask you, the Lord of the harvest, to send out workers into your harvest field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now for the benediction. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The service is ended, and God grant you a fruitful week ahead.